Hello and welcome to Mr. Jeffrion's World History Podcast, Episode 24, New Worlds, the Americas, and Oceania. The focus of this episode is the aftermath of the Age of Exploration and the new economic and social systems that arose after Europeans, quote, discovered America. As a reminder, if you have any questions, feel free to call the Google Voice number 321-804-APWH, that's 321-804-2794. You can also send an email to mrjeffrion@gmail.com. Let's begin. If you are reading Bentley, this chapter starts off with a discussion regarding the natives of the Americas. Refreshing your brains just a little bit about certain Native American societies might help you better understand the circumstances going on in the Americas at this time. Before Europeans landed their ships on the sparkling white sand beaches of the Caribbean, two major civilizations were present in the Americas. The Aztecs, which are also referred to as the Mexica, in Central America, and the Inca in South America, or more specifically, Peru. While some of the first Europeans in America either depicted the natives as complete savages or rulers of cities made of gold, neither is correct. They did, however, develop complex, advanced societies, especially in the fields of science, agriculture, and mathematics. Large societies that were capable of developing without the need of the common European modes of government and technology, which Europeans assumed, made their civilization possible. However, the lives of the native populations and their futures were forever changed once Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492. Something that is essential to know in order to understand the devastation inflicted upon the Americans in the late 15th and into the 16th and 17th centuries is the Europeans' motives for exploration. A short phrase that you may have heard before sums it up pretty well. Gold, God, and glory. Spain, Portugal, and France were just as concerned with converting the natives as they were with exploiting the resources and economic opportunities of the Americas. Explorers and conquistadors were concerned with earning a name for themselves. This is where glory comes into play, and their countries as well. During this time period, it was a competition for every country to be the best, and taking over newfound lands and conquering people was an easy way to do it. Also during this time, wealth was very much measured in silver and gold, and many European countries thought the Americas had endless reserves. It was just a matter of who found it first. When it comes to who actually did the conquering, two names are very important: Hernando Cortes and Francisco Pizarro. While Cortes's army conquered the Central American mainland with the Aztec population, Pizarro and his army conquered the Incas in South America. Like mentioned before, these empires were advanced, so they were not completely defenseless, and they had a lot more people than even the largest army of Europeans. However, due to three simple concepts, they suffered demise at the hands of Europeans. These are disease, division, and deficiency. The Indians were not resistant to disease, smallpox probably being the most lethal throughout the populations that traveled overseas with the Europeans, and this alone could account for the ability to be conquered so easily. Another important factor, however, is that especially in Central America, the Indians were very divided, and many resented the ruling class and easily sided with the Europeans. Lastly, a deficiency in new war technologies such as cannons and gunpowder contributed to the suffering of natives at the hands of the Europeans who had more advanced weaponry. After Europeans conquered and colonized the Americas, new economic systems arose. These systems, however, varied depending on whose colony it was. Chances are there will be questions about this in the future, perhaps on an AP exam or college test. Maybe multiple choice, maybe an essay question that might want you to analyze or state differences between the various colonizers of the Americas during this time period. So make sure you are not just thinking of how the Spanish, English, Dutch, French, and Portuguese were alone by themselves, but how they compared to one another. In Spanish America, there were encomiendas, which is where Europeans enslaved the Indians to work for a certain period of time as indentured servants. but often most were worked to death and never had the chance to be free again. This is important to take note of because, for the most part, enslaving Indians was a failure too. Too many were dying from epidemic disease or simply couldn't withstand the laborious nature of the type of work they were doing. So Europeans had to turn to another more efficient labor source, African slaves. Central to the entirety of these systems and Spain's success in the Americas in the first place is silver. Having access to the natural resources of its American colonies, Spain could acquire more and more silver, which in turn fueled the vast empire that it took hold of in the 16th and 17th centuries. The Portuguese success in Brazil wasn't fueled by a mineral, but by a food source, sugar. Just like the mining of silver in Central America brought great wealth to Spain, the production of sugar created the need for thousands of laborers that could produce as much sugar as possible. Indians end up failing as valuable labor resources, just as they did in Central America, so Brazil became one of the most popular, if you want to call it that, destinations for African slaves during this time period. You also need to remember the very important Treaty of Tordesillas, which divided America itself in half. One side, mostly Brazil, given to Portugal, while the other side, Mexico, Latin America, and a good chunk of North America, was given to Spain. In North America, there was also new economic systems taking place. However, instead of being based on any major cash crop or resource, it was on a smaller scale and more diverse. The French were heavily interested in the fur trade, as were the English and Dutch to some extent, and the land was heavily covered with subsistence farming, which later led to the creation of larger scale plantations. While the economic landscape of America was changing with the arrival of Europeans, the governing structure was diversifying as well. In Spanish America, the empire was ruled closely by the crown, as was the case of Portugal as well. In North America, however, often business enterprises, commonly referred to as joint stock companies, founded and ruled the colonies, only with some influence from the mother country. This allows for more freedom in North America than the Spanish and Portuguese Central and South America. Another thing that was different and contributed greatly with how each country ruled its colony was religion. The Spanish were heavily interested in converting the natives of the region to Christianity and wanted to assimilate the Indians into European culture and society. In North America, however, to the English, Indians were seen as savages that really served no purpose into being converted into a Europeanized Christian. The French, like the Spanish, were interested in converting the natives and sent Jesuit missionaries to contribute to the cause. The last major change to occur in the Americas that we will discuss is the emergence of new people and social classes. New hierarchies were created in both North and South America. As time went on, the Europeans were separated longer and longer away from their mother countries. In Central and South America, each member of the social hierarchy can be classified by a name, which mainly had to do with ethnic background. At the top of this hierarchy were Europeans, born in Europe. Next were Creoles, or the native-born Europeans' children, who, out of all those born in America, had the most authority and influence. After that, it was a mixture of mestizos, those with European and Indian ancestry, mulattoes, those with European and African ancestry, and lastly, zambos, those of African and Indian ancestry. Because the gender balance was mostly male in Central and South America at this time, mixed children were becoming more and more common. In North America, where there was a more stable gender ratio and more prejudice against the natives, children of mixed ancestry were less common. In addition to encountering and colonizing the Americas, Europeans also made contacts with the Pacific Islands and Australia as well. While colonizing there was a lot less extensive, these first contacts did open the way for important sites of trading and communication. The islands surrounding Australia were important sites of cash crops, including spices, which captured the attention of many European colonies. While Spain was interested in the natural resources of the Pacific Islands, such as Manila, Britain took interest in Australia and in 1788 made it a penal colony, or a place where they put prisoners. These new routes and locations of trade highlighted how advanced the Europeans were becoming, especially in the case of navigational technologies, which is why they were able to conquer such vast and diverse empires all over the world. Well, this concludes episode 24. Remember to keep studying as much as you can, and also remember the importance of linking certain ideas and concepts together, which will lead you to a better understanding of all the different topics we discuss and how they all relate in the end. Until next time, this has been Mr. Jeffrey on's World History Podcast.